You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 is where we're going to be, Ephesians chapter 5. And when you look into Ephesians chapter 5, you might not realize it, but in verse 2, in verse 8, in verse 15, there's this word called walk. So I want you to pull out your listening guide as well, and we're going to look into the scriptures, and we're going to be able to see what it means to walk in the light, what it means to walk in the light. We've been going over some tough things, and we'll just continue on our path here as we look into Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 through 10. Verse 6 through 10, here we go. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments. I want you to circle the word empty. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk, underline the word walk, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. When we get to this first section, it's talking about the difference of light and darkness. We see this throughout the scriptures. There's a lot of talk about light and darkness throughout the scriptures. You get all the way back to Genesis. God says, let there be light, and then there was light. You have in Exodus, you have the pillar of fire by night. Why? To give light, to guide them into the promised land, to guide them out of bondage. You look at the star and the manger. What is the whole thing about the star? But declaring in a dark sky, here's this bright light. It's different than any other star. It's a huge bright light. It shines upon the manger. They were guided by the star. Then Jesus Christ comes along, and in Luke chapter 8, he declares himself to be the light of the world. And so he declares that he's the light of the world. Then we have Paul, who wrote Ephesians. Paul is going on his horse in the book of Acts, and he is blinded by a blinding light. It's about noon when he is on the ground, and the light is brighter than the noonday sun. Why? Because it's Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Then you move into Revelation, and in Revelation it says that in heaven we'll have no need for the sun, we'll have no need for the moon. Why? Because Jesus will be the light himself. So all throughout the scriptures, from the very beginning of Genesis to the end in Revelation, you've got light, light. But in where we live, there's a battle, isn't there, between light and darkness. And in Boston, there's a battle. At the bombing of between light and darkness, someone comes with backpacks filled with darkness. And someone stands to cheer on their loved one filled with light. But yet we see with Rebecca that light will actually be a victor over darkness. While one will be in jail, one will be running and going forward and saying, I won't be stopped by this. And that's what God is wanting us to do with this, to walk in his ways, to walk in the paths of the Lord, to walk in light. Now, when we get to this, I had you circle a word, empty. In verse 6, it talks about that there's an empty argument. Here's the point. Life in the light is full. Life in the darkness is empty. Life in the light is full. Life in the darkness is empty, he says, with these empty arguments. See, when there's a declaration of what makes morality in today's world instead of what God declares as morality, you piece it apart a little bit and you realize, well, huh, it sounds real good, but it's empty at its core. You hear of, well, let's do this and let's cut the corners just a little bit. Let's cheat a little bit so we can get ahead. And then you realize that then that victory is hollow. Because then as you cheat, you get found out. And when you're found out, then it ends up being something that's deflated and falls apart. Greed seems to give us so much, but a few verses before we get to this one, it talks about don't be a person of greed. Greed is actually getting more and living less. Greed is getting more and living less. It is empty arguments. Darkness brings emptiness. It brings emptiness. See, what we want is we want the metaphor of light not to just be a metaphor in the scriptures. We want it to be something that actually grows our heart. See, Jesus changes who we are is what verse 8's about. He changes who we are. We talked when we were going through the book of John. I wrote the book called I Am, being God, changes who I am. It's very important that we understand that God makes a change in our life. He doesn't just improve us. The gospel is we were of darkness, and now through salvation in Christ, we're of light. The gospel is that we were on the broad road, now we're on the narrow road. We were dead, and now we're alive. Not just we're new and improved, we are new. We are new, and in verse 8, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You know the list we've been going through? It's a list that talks about what we are, the differences between us, that there's an old man and a new man. There's Adam and there's Jesus. There's flesh and there's spirit. There's sin and there's righteousness, and there's darkness and there's light. There's darkness and light. And the only thing that separates those is the cross of Christ. That's what makes the separation. And what happens, unfortunately, in our world, and particularly in the South, we live in dusk. We live in dusk. It's got a little bit of light, it's got a little bit of darkness. It almost would be easier to live in a place where there is no Christianity and then say, have you ever heard of Jesus? And they go, what are you talking about? Jesus who? Who is that? But when we got just a little bit of it, we like to straddle. And so we get a little bit of light and we get a little bit of darkness. And I just want you to hear that when you got a foot in darkness, you got a foot in emptiness. Light is where the fullness of life is found. Listening to a podcast of a guy named Ravi Zachariah, R-A-V-I. He's a world-renowned Christian apologetics person, and he is amazing. He gave these four words that are four words I want to write down for you that he said everybody is looking for these four words. The first is origin. What is our origin? How do we come from? The second is we're looking for meaning in our lives. Are you going to find this in light or in darkness? Meaning. Then he says, now we're looking for morality. What is morality? That's what we talked about last week. Do we decide what morality is, or has God already decided that? And then the last thing that we're looking for is destiny. Everybody's looking for this. So let's bring it through with a Christian worldview. Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, were right there in the beginning. We were created in his image. We fell, but meaning is found not in empty arguments, but in light, in Jesus Christ, in who he is. Now we've developed from our meaning, we understand that our meaning in life is to glorify God. Now our morality is based upon what God desires. Not what the newfangled morality is, but what God desires. And then we know our destiny is then to spend eternity with God in heaven. Let's take it through atheist worldview. Our origin is luck. We came from just basically cells getting lucky. Meaning is void. We have really none. Morality is up to the user. And destiny is dirt in the grave to rot and to be food for worms. Paul says darkness is empty. But the light is full, and we are no longer darkness. We are, as believers in Christ, light. Not only does it change who we are, it changes what we do. In verse 9, for the fruit of the light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So the fruit of the light is different. Jesus changes what we do. So now if we are people of the light, we don't walk in darkness. We don't walk in dusk. We walk in the light. We walk in the light. He gives us three words there. See, my life's fruit shows God's character. It's goodness, righteousness, and truth. So how do you know if you're walking in the light? How do you know if you're going towards Jesus? That Jesus, the light of the world, is shining through you, then three words ought to be able to describe our lives. There ought to be goodness, there ought to be righteousness, there ought to be truth. If there's not any goodness, if there's not righteousness, if we're living in lies, then we're not really walking in the light, are we? See, those three words are pieces of the character of God, isn't it? If you were to describe God, you'd say God is goodness. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. God is good. He is the ultimate essence of goodness. God is righteousness. God is truth, for Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. All truth is God's truth. God is truth. So what we have here is then, watch this, the character of the Christian begins to look like the character of Christ. When you're walking in the light, the character of the Christian looks like the character of Christ. Goodness, truth, righteousness. I was at a store this week and I was talking with the lady that was there, the proprietor of the store, and we began to talk. And, you know, my heart is to always get into a conversation that's a little bit deeper than just, you know, how much does this cost and what's going on. And so we began to talk. And she said, well, I'm a Buddhist. And I said, well, that's something. Tell me a little bit about that. I don't know much about that. Would you tell me about that? And that's true. I don't know a ton about Buddhism. I know a little bit, but tell me about that. So she started telling me about Buddhism. And she says, you know what? Christians are always trying to invite me to their church. I said, yeah, we're kind of like that. Uh-huh. So I thought, okay, don't tell her you're a pastor yet, you know, or don't invite her to church yet. And so she was kind of a little bit miffed by that. And she said, I always have these friends. I said, you know, they mean well, they love you, they care for you. She said, you know, I said, what do y'all do in the Buddhist church? They said, we're always bowing. We bow at least 108 times to get rid of our sin. I said, you know, that's something we have in common is Christianity and Buddhism. We both want to get rid of our sin. But what's great is we only bow once. We bow to the cross of Jesus Christ and receive Jesus as our Savior. And in that one bow, we don't have to bow 108 times. We just bow that once. And then Jesus forgives us of our sin. And so I share with her just a little bit of the gospel there. And she said, but there was this one lady that invites me to church, and I think she really means it. I said, who? She said, she's a pastor's wife. And I said, is it my wife? And she said, no, it's not. I don't think it's your wife. And then she named how many kids this lady had, and it wasn't my wife. We had too many kids. So here's what she said. She said she invited me to church, and she has 4 kids, and I know it's hard to raise kids, and I know she's tired. She didn't have a bit of makeup on that day, and she invited me to church and said, I'm going to pray for you. And when she said, I'm going to pray for you, her face was beautiful. It just shined. See, when we're the light of the world speaking into darkness, we're kind of used to being around a lot of light. But when the light gets where the light's supposed to be and the light's supposed to step out into the darkness, and a lot of times us as lights, we're scared to get out in the darkness, so we step back in the light. We get with a whole bunch of other lights. It's like Q-beam convention is what it's like. Everybody's all lit up here, and that's good, and that's fun, and that's encouraging. But when we go back out, you never know the countenance of your face. When you're walking in the light, you're going to shine with goodness. You're going to shine with righteousness. You're going to shine with truth. See, it's not enough for the gardener to love flowers. The gardener has to also hate weeds. The gardener just can't love flowers. The gardener's got to hate weeds. The Christian can't just love the light. The Christian's got to hate the darkness, and not just like darkness of just evil when it's like totally obvious, the dusk that gets us. Jesus changes who we are. He changes what we do. The character of our life is different. So let's ask a few difficult questions. 4, how do we determine if we're living in light or dark? How do we determine if we're living in light and dark? How do I know in my own life? How do I determine that? I put in your listening guide. It's in your weekly guide to help be a guide. These 4 questions. And this is a way that you could just ask a couple diagnostic questions. Do my actions need to be hidden or can they be seen by all? Do my actions need to be hidden or seen by all? Things that are hidden, where do you put them? In darkness, don't you? You want to hide them in the dark. Places that aren't really good places, When do they light up? At night is when they light up. You drive past them in the daytime, they're a dump. You drive past them in the nighttime, they look like they're not a dump, but let me tell you what, they're still a dump. So we hide things. Number two, do my actions create division or unity with my family and friends? Do my actions create division or unity with my family or friends? See, sin always brings division. Sin always brings division. So if there's something you've announced to your family, you've stated to your family, you said, this is what I'm doing, this is how I'm doing it, this is what it's about, they found out about it, you told them about it, whatever it is, and they go, whoa, and it's put a division, you need to really investigate that. And we know that the Word tells us that even Christ can bring a division between in families, because one person's walking with God, other people aren't, and the light and the darkness aren't getting along. That's not what I'm talking about with this. I'm talking about that in these relationships, sin will bring division. Sin will bring division. Number three, do my actions please God or just me? See, when you please God, you're pleasing for eternity. When you please yourself, aren't you as fickle as I am? When you please yourself, it's going to have to change. You're going to have to get a new pop, a new zeal, a new adrenaline rush. Something else is going to have to happen. You got to get more, because the flesh is an appetite and it'll devour things. If those four questions, if you can go through those and ask those, you can begin to determine, okay, am I walking in light or am I walking in darkness? We don't want to be a people. There's no joy in being a person of dusk. Joy comes in walking in the light. So what do you do if you answer these questions and you say, oh, pastor, help me out, because I just can't answer those questions in the ways that I want to answer those questions. What do I do? Two things. Here's what you do. Number one, you ask for forgiveness from God and man. You ask for forgiveness from God and from man. If your life has gotten real complicated because you've walked in some ways you don't need to walk in, you just need to flat out just say, Lord, I want to ask you for your forgiveness. I've walked in some dusk and some darkness, and I need you to forgive me, Lord. And I'm sorry. I want to put my faith in Jesus Christ to be my forgiveness of my sins. Not only that, but I then take the step, Lord, to who do I need to get it right with? Who do I need to ask forgiveness from? Do I need to go to my kids? Do I need to go to my spouse? Do I need to go to my ex-spouse? Do I need to go to my boss? Do I need to go to a friend? Who do I need to go to get this right? They may not accept it, but as far as it is with me, Romans 12, I'm going to be at peace with all men. That's first. You got to get that right. The horizontal and the vertical on forgiveness, or the vertical, I should say, and the horizontal on forgiveness. And then number two, you walk in the light from here on out. That's really the most simplistic. Now, you might need some counseling. You might need some read some books, all this stuff. But the most simplistic is you get your forgiveness vertical. You get your forgiveness horizontal. And now you walk in a different way and you walk in the light. That's what happens. And that's how it takes place. If you walk in darkness, you need to walk into the light, because that's where it really is. Let's let our lives be transparent before the Lord. Let's let our lives be transparent before the Lord. Now look at verses 11 through 14. Do not participate in the fruitless. I want you to circle fruitless. So you should have empty and fruitless circled. Empty in verse 6, fruitless in verse 11. You see how those are connecting? Don't participate in fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything that is exposed by the light is made clear, but what makes everything clear is the light. Therefore, it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and the Messiah will shine upon you. That little place there in verse 14 is actually, they think, taken from an old Christian hymn that they would sing when someone was baptized. So they would sing this hymn when they were baptized. Why? Because the baptism was symbolic of the conversion, that they came to Christ and they moved from light, or from darkness to light. Do you know why we baptize people in white robes? Now, we don't, at our campuses, usually they have on a t-shirt, but here at the Loop and often throughout Christian history, we've had white robes. Do you know why? Because what you would do is you would come on one side of the river, you would go into the river, and you would be baptized in the river, and some people would jeer at you. Some people would shout insults at you. Other people would cheer for you. Sam Houston, that our city is named after, when he was baptized in the Brazos River by one of our pastors, that's how far our history goes back, and one of our pastors baptized Sam Houston. He said, Sam, or Mr. Houston, Governor Houston, all your sins have been washed away. And he said, I feel sorry for the fish. That's what he said. But it's not that your sins are washed away in baptism. It's symbolic of that. Your sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus at the cross. Then you're baptized. Then they would walk out of the river, and the first thing they would do would put on a white robe to symbolize their new purity in Christ. That's where the white robe tradition comes from. Purity in Jesus. So they sing this hymn and they point to it and they say, remember the white robes? Remember baptism? Remember conversion? This is what this is about. So now let's walk in this way. See, this is why, unfortunately, people don't want to come to church sometimes or to Bible study, because they know that they're living in darkness and the last thing they want to hear about is the light. So let's change the light. No! The light is what heals. The light is what shines. The light is what brings humility. The light is what brings us to bow, because we realize darkness. But he says, I don't want you to talk about these things. I want you to expose these things. Something's been happening. You know, these past couple weeks, I haven't been able to get to the end of my message. I'm going to get to it. Here it is. It works even better here. Bad living and bad talking go together. And in all of these things we've been talking about, when we talked about anger, when we were talking about that in Ephesians chapter 4, at the end of Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 31, all bitterness, anger, wrath, shouting, and slander must be removed from you. So he's talking about what you're saying. Verse 29, no foul language, which means rotten words, is to come from your mouth. Then you go on and you get into the sexual immorality part. In verse 4, it says, before the sexual immorality part, coarse and foolish talking and crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. Then we go further, and it says in verse 12 that we're talking about today, for it is shameful even to mention what is done by these things in secret. So we got in verse 29 of chapter 4. We got verse 31 of chapter 4. We got in verse 4 of chapter 5. And we got in verse 11 of chapter 5, talking about, or verse 12 of chapter 5, talking about our words. Our words. Here's what happens. The overflow of the heart, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, says the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So what's in the heart is going to come out of your mouth, okay? And what comes out of our mouths can show what's in our heart. Now, I'm not talking about you stub your toe on the way to the bathroom at night and all of a sudden. I'm talking about what's coming out of us. Words that are either rotten or giving life. See, words spoken in the light bring life. Words spoken in the light bring life. Do you and I realize how powerful our words are? They're powerful. Powerful. When you speak something, people receive it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Wrong. Some of us are still dealing with words that somebody has spoken in our life. Somebody said you were dumb and you still remember it. And your whole life has been to try to prove that that person is wrong. Someone said you're ugly and you think about it all the time. Someone said you're not good at, you never will. Someone said that this is why you're like this. You inherited this and it was spoken over you. A word was declared and that word became a defining word in your life. And I want to redefine your life for you. When Jesus is spoken in your life through salvation and walking in the light of the world, your life is different. The word over Rebecca's life is not bombing. The word over her life is Christ. So she runs the race with her eyes set on Jesus, with a great cloud of heavenly witnesses cheering her on. Do you see the difference? What word has been spoken over you? Fatherless, divorce, lack, poverty. Jesus breaks the chains, and those that have received the light of the world and put their faith in him, we are to be speakers of the light. That's what we're to be speaking. In just a few moments, we're going to end our service, and on all campuses, Siena, Cypress, downtown, the Loop, we're going to do what we've been doing recently, which is having prayer partners throughout our worship centers. And we're going to be able to, you can come down, talk to a minister about joining the church, but you can just pray with somebody. Well, a little boy came down a couple weeks ago on the anger message. Little guy. And he was dealing with anger. And as I was talking to him, I sensed in my heart it was from a broken home situation. And I said, I want you to look at me. He wouldn't look at me. I said, I want you to look at me. He looked at this sweet little boy. I said, I want you to hear me. You have a Father in heaven who loves you and thinks you're incredible. And he loves you and has a plan for your life. I'm just speaking words of life. And this little boy's face, he just broke, started crying. But it's not just the little boys that break, is it? It's the men that need to break with a word spoken over their life of light. It's the women who need to break over the words spoken on our light of life. But we're so comfortable in dusk, we're afraid of the noonday. See, a bright light brings a clear life. A bright light brings a clear life. Clear living, clear understanding, clear direction. You see verse 13 and 14? Everything exposed by the light is made clear. For what makes it clear is light. How do you get clarity when you're in the darkness? You flip the switch. You turn on the flashlight. You get it out in the noonday sun. You walk out of the movie theater and you start squinting because it's so bright. But then it, too many of our eyes, we've adjusted to the darkness instead of adjusting to the light. And so I just want to call us and tell us, if we're going to learn to walk, we can't walk in decay. We got to walk with our words, giving thanks to God, is what it says over and over. Romans 1, Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5, giving thanks to God. And when your words get about thanks to God, then take the opportunity to speak light into other people's lives. So simple as I could put it, you and I were, because of sin, we are in darkness. And only through faith in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross are we able to go from the old man to the new man, from Adam to Jesus, from the broad road to the narrow road, from flesh to sin, from darkness to light. And he changes who we are. And when it changes who we are, it changes what we do. And when we change what we do, it changes what we say. And when it changes what we say, it changes the clarity in which we live life. And then we're able to be on mission 1-8 of allowing him to give clarity to others as we minister. Benjamin Franklin in Philadelphia was arguing with the people about this newfangled thought he had. He was a great inventor, as you know. That he said, here's how we can limit crime at night. Here's how we can keep people from stumbling at night. Here's how we can help. All we've got to do is, I want to do this thing called a porch light, a lantern. And we'll hang it out in front of our houses at night with a gas flame burning. And we'll be able to let that light the streets so that when people come by, the thieves won't come by and we'll have more light. And the people say, that's crazy. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. But if you do this, it will light up the whole street. Oh, we're not doing it. We don't want to do it. And they fought him tooth and nail on it. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. That's a crazy idea. We don't want to do this. So Benjamin Franklin said, well, okay, don't do it. And he hung his light out on his street. And everyone that would come by would notice how they were tripping and falling. And then they got to Benjamin Franklin's house and they just walked just perfectly by. Notice how the thieves would stay on this corner, but they wouldn't stay by Benjamin Franklin's house. So then his neighbor said, well, I'm going to do that. Another light went up. Another light went up. Another light went up. Another light went up. And pretty soon the entire block and the entire city. And so now what is on your front porch but a porch light? And when we flip the switch of our lives to be lit up, we won't be stopped by bombings. We won't be stopped by fear. We'll march and run the marathon of life in the light. Yes. If you don't know the light of the world, Jesus Christ, or you've been living in some darkness, or for whatever reason you need some prayer, I'm going to pray. And at the front of each campus, there'll be somebody that you can come and talk to about joining the church, being baptized, coming to know Christ, whatever you want to talk about. But then throughout our worship center in Siena, right there, there'll be people stationed around as the light comes in those windows. In the cafetorium in Cyprus, there'll be people stationed around. In downtown, in the hotel, there'll be people stationed around in the ballroom. At the Loop, throughout the worship center, people stationed around as prayer partners. You just come and say, I need you to pray for me. Nobody's perfect. All of us mess with dusk. Let's come and let's pray. And let's come to the light of the world.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.